so cool.
Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your
if the quarter after one, I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
I want to see you doing your thing, you know, this thing that you do. It's really something.
Thank you. Very sweet.
You make for Michael was wrong.
No, I trust you more than I trust anybody.
What's it like to hold all the cards to pull?
Hi everyone, it's Carly from Daytime After Dark. Tonight's guest is one of my favorites on Daytime. He played he's still playing this from Days of Our Life in General Hospital. He just finished the stunt on General Hospital as Victor Cassadine. Very, very interesting, Victor Cassadine. I think he's here. Let me hold on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Theo.
Hi, Theo. I am so glad that you were able to come on the show finally, and I am such a big fan of yours. I have been since Days of Our Life, and, well, I wasn't that big of a fan of Andre, but I love Tony.
I was a big fan of Andre.
Hey, Andre made Lexi die, so, with that cave, so, you know, but I think you did a great job playing the duo role. I'm like, oh my gosh, how does he do that? Because I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
Well, you know, you discover that we are many people in one person, and you, as an actor, have to explore those arenas. And there was something about disturbing the peace that I always liked, because I knew I was just acting, so I didn't have to worry that there were any repercussions because of it. So, and because I've trained for so many years, and also I think when I did Mission Impossible, it gave me an idea of discovering the many personalities within me. And so I tried to. Some were more successful than others, but Andre really came out of Tony, and except in many ways, it was. We are an industry that is sometimes scary in the way people operate, and the way there are many times where you can't always trust who you're talking to, and so I kind of brought it in to Andre, and it was like Andre was getting back at everybody who had upset him over the years, and so mm-hmm. That's what I kept reminding myself. And also I changed the tone of the voice also the passion. There was a different kind of passion than Tony. And because I thought of him as an imposter because he didn't become what he wanted in his life, and so he was out to destroy anything that was in his way. So, but of course, you know, you have to play the part in the way it's written, and then you have to lift off the page to make it as exciting for the writers to continue with the storyline.
Well, yeah, and I did always, you know, I miss Tony on dates. I will be honest. I feel like them letting you go and everything that happened, you know, Tony was a very good character that needed to be on there. Still had business to, you know, finish. And I just, you know, I think a lot of people miss seeing him on dates. But I'm really glad that you are on General Hospital now.
Yes, I mean, you know, I came in as a way of getting a particular character off the canvas because she wanted to go and direct. A lot of people were upset that she got killed off, not killed off, but she disappeared because of Victor. And, you know, it's like they blame you for it when really you're just following the story. So it was a lot of expository, which is not always easy when you're acting because you've just got a lot of lines telling and furthering the story. And as things progressed, I was able to become a little more human, especially with my great-great nephew, Spencer, who I really just adored. He was he's such a
you
sparkle.
You guys were cute. You guys were so cute. You know, I ate that up. I'm like, oh, Victor had the soft side.
It gave a softer side to Victor, and I thought that was a good contrast to Victor's entrance. And I remember seeing the kid, and he says, "Do you want to run lines?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Yeah, do you know your lines?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I know my lines. Do you know yours?" And I thought, oh, this is a real little cheeky brat, but he's so charming. And so I got down on one knee, and when I said to him, "You know, I'm your great-great uncle," and I'll always remember what his response was, "So what's great about you?" I almost cracked up in the way he said it. So I rehearsed with him, and so both of us we liked each other. It was good that his mother liked me, and so she kind of helped the way, and it just came out as well as it did. And then, of course, I had to work with Dr. Obrecht, and I thought, well, how do you meet a character for the first time and you've had history before and you don't know what that history was? So you have to sort of build a history in your mind so that there's some kind of foundation to the exchange. And so she was wonderful to work with because she was an actress that when you pass the ball, she would throw it back at you. And so it was good. And she was a disliked character. And the nice thing that Victor did for her, for the audience, was that he softened her. And I think she enjoyed that because she's always playing this vile creature that upsets people.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it because you have the eight bosses that are just starting, have been on for, been watching for 20 years. But, you know, Victor Cassidine wasn't on there. And a lot of people were getting confused with, if you were Nicholas's, uncle or great uncle or all that. So can you explain to the audience so they will finally know? I mean, I've tried to explain to them, but, what Cassidine you are and who you related to and all that.
Yeah, well, see, I was only on the show in 1981 for 3 months. So what I had to deal with was a big story in which there were the three of us, which was with Andre Lanzard and John Colicos, who he was the eldest, and I was the middle brother. But I think Andre Lanzard, when they brought him in first, they saw that he wasn't as strong. They needed a stronger brother, so that's when I was invited in, and so I was kind of the heir to the throne. And everybody was killed off in the Ice Princess story except for Victor. And then the executive producer came to me and she said, "You're the only character of the 30 that were introduced this summer that's going to stay around. We have to send you to prison, then you'll come back." and we've got a big story. And I said, okay. But then Days of Our Lives came up, and I liked Pat Falcon-Smith, who was the head writer on General Hospital, and she decided to go over to Days of Our Lives, and she said, I want you to come with me. And so I decided to go with her, and that's why the headline one was the one that got away. And so in between those years, they developed more of the Cassadines that I never knew about. Steve Nichols, he came on, I think, as one of the relatives. And so what was it, so that I come back, and who, where have all these characters gone? And of course, Elizabeth Taylor played the original wife, who was my sister-in-law, Helena. And then, of course, Constance Towers came in after I left, and I heard she was just wonderful. I've met her, and she's a great gal. I loved Elizabeth Taylor as well. But it's interesting that even Robert Kelky Kelly came into it. So two of the actors that I had worked with on Days of Our Lives went on to General Hospital to play Cassadines. So that would have been interesting. Robert Kelky Kelly would have been my nephew. And so Spencer, this character Spencer, was my great nephew. So I don't know who's coming back, if they're developing the Cassadine story. From what I've been reading in the press, it seems that they are. I'm not quite sure when. I have some idea, but I can't talk about it. And that's all I know about the family history. But I'm the original and the last surviving one of that particular time where it was the most highly rated storyline in the history of daytime. And John Colicos is gone. I don't know what happened to Andre Lansat, but both those characters died in the storyline. And so it was an opportunity for them to bring the Cassadine story into, and they approached me about, how would you like to come back and bring Victor back to life? And I said, well, he never died. And some of them
weren't
quite...
I mean... But character Lansat never dies. Come on, people. You know, Stefano had 18 lives. Come on. People,
you know what was nice, though, to come back to a character that wasn't killed off, unlike Days, where I was killed off six times and had to sort of resurrect myself on that story and stretch the belief of the audience as to how do people come back to life, and they start playing it all over the soaps. But this was nice to come back to because he was sent to prison. And so I asked my producer, so what happened to him in prison, and how did he get out, and how did he become the head of the WSB? And they kind of looked at me and they said, we don't know. So if there's going to be a storyline, I'm hoping we'll find out those facts, because I think that's interesting history, or it just may be a foundation for me to work upon what's coming up instead. And I also like that they were very friendly and very nice to me, the actors on GH, and they're bringing in some nice actors. And I even remember Shelley Jones coming on, who was on Day when I was there, and she was just terrific. And, you know, I was such a huge fan, because when I was a kid, I used to love watching her musicals. And so here she was, really down-to-earth, charming woman, and she threw a compliment at me, and she says, come here, you. And I said, oh, my God, it's Shelley Jones. So, you know, I called my brothers and my sisters in Australia and told them I got to finally work with Shelley Jones, not so much in the story as much as meeting with her and being on the same show. But, you know, we all used to sing, you know, Carousel and all that wonderful music of Rodgers and Hammerstein's, and there she was in front of me, and I thought, God, it's something wonderful about coming full circle in your history.
Exactly. And but, you know, I mean, before the interview's over, I do have to ask you a Dave question, because either my mind is going, oh, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm not sure I'm crazy, but did you get eaten by a tiger? I mean,
I got attacked. No, that was Andre got attacked by the tiger.
Okay, it was Andre. Okay. Okay. See, I mean, I knew it was, you know, Theo, but I didn't know which one it was, and you know, I was washing a line one day, and that's when I learned never wash soaps while you're eating after that, people. But going back at General Hospital, people are falling in love with you and Dr. O, Dr. Obide. I think you guys have this chemistry there.
It's one of those things that happens. You can't always, no matter, some actors you gel with and others you don't. But for me, it's always finding, I wanted to find Victor's humor. And I wanted to find, you know, I try to bring that into it because I find that a lot of the soaps, because it's all done so quickly, I find that the humor's missing. And I like sometimes to take that pause and to have that twinkle and to also, you know, let the audience think that I'm going in one direction when I'm going to the other. Or the fact is he really in love with Dr. Obrecht, or is it something he wants from her? So it's ambivalent. And so that always leads to mystery. You know, if people know that, oh, yes, he's in love and that's it. I mean, I had one of the lines that I was kind of questioning, which was to say to Dr. Obrecht, oh, I'll give you the moon and the stars, and your world will be, I'll create the world that you want, or whatever it was. And I said, I don't believe Victor would say that. And my producer said, no, I want him to say it. So as an actor, I had to decide to throw it away and say, you know, I will give you the stars and the moon. And otherwise, it just sounded like, I don't like playing weak men, and I don't think the audience likes that either. If they're going to follow you, you've got to find the strength in the character, and you don't want, once a woman takes advantage of a man, then the audience, I think, loses interest because they think, oh, he's just, you know, he's just a pussy in this particular situation. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'd rather make it like an audience asking, what's he really up to? Does he love her or doesn't he love her? Does he want information that she has that he still needs? And that's the way I played it, because there's been
no
history.
And you are playing it so well. And so is Victor having more episodes coming up on Z8?
I hope so. There's certain information I can't reveal right now.
Well, I know. I was just going to try and be cute and try it.
You were trying to be cute. We're trying to find out.
Yeah, I was, because, you know, and there's rumors, you know, there's always rumors, and there's rumors that you might be matched up with Donna Mills.
You know, I'll give you a piece of history. Donna Mills and myself, we studied together at the Katsella studio here in Los Angeles, and so I know her. And she's a lovely lady, good actress, and I thought, God, that would be interesting. Maybe it's a triangle.
See, that would be hot.
That would be hot because, you know, one's a little bit harder and Germanic, and the other one's quite the lady, but she's a killer.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't watched her yet. How does she come off to you? I'm curious.
Say that again.
How does she come off? Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Our Swiss boat sometimes gets crazy. But we have calls for you, but before I bring them on, can you let everyone know about your upcoming projects like Hold Right, Zob Dollar?
Yes. Also, my book, which will be published July 15th, I've finished basically with it. We've just gone over the final touches. And that's all about the journeys that I've been traveling over the last 20 years. And I'm very pleased with the book. It'll be my first book, and then I go to my second, which is going to be traveling the world again in different places, but also I'm going to bring about the cuisine of those cultures. That I'm looking forward to, because my next trip is going to be to Iran, And out of this, we're also developing a project for television. So Job's Daughter, they had a screening of it the other night. I couldn't go, but I heard it's a very interesting film. Some of the sound needs to be corrected, but I hear it's a very interesting story. It's really about a family, how a town is affected by a man who goes into a 7-Eleven store and kills all these people. And I play a priest, and I've never really played a real priest. And so,
Ooh. So
I found it interesting to be in a church with people and talking to them, and then going to visit these places, the places of the people who've been victimized by the assassinations, and trying to bring them into perspective about loss. And Doris Roberts and Eric Roberts are in it as well. And so I enjoyed playing it. It was a tough director. Hard Right was a project that is a 45-minute film they wanted to develop into a feature. Interesting story about a man who's a football player, a boxer, I should say. In real life, the character who played it is a football player from Australia who has been knocked about. And I just found out that the actor had to go back to Australia because he can't remember very much anymore because he'd been battered through the game. And they just had it on 60 Minutes Australia with me interviewing him. And what it is that this guy plays a boxer, and I play someone like a Charlie Rose who interviews, but I'm working with the police because we think he's murdered somebody, and I'm being used to try and trick him in the interviews into admitting that he didn't murder his mother. And so that one I really enjoyed doing. I thought it was a nice script. And I did another film called The New Man, the same producers I did the story on Haman and Esther. And so they asked me to do this film where I played a psychiatrist, and so that should be coming out sometime this year. So that's what I've been, I've been up to, and now, and then I had my sister come from Australia because she had lost her husband to Alzheimer's, and so I had to deal with that and help her out, and then she had a double bout of cancer, and so while I was doing General Hospital, I had a sister here who was going through a tough time, and so it was not easy for me to be studying and learning all those lines. I mean, the first day I had 17 scenes.
Wow.
17 scenes. It was I had over 60 pages of dialogue on my first day. So, you do one take. So most of the time, that's what you get. So you have to make it count. So what you see is a one take. There's not too many takes. They haven't got the time, and if you can't handle it, it's goodbye time. But and I had to find my rhythm. But I liked my opening scene introducing Victor. It was fun. I suddenly found this character and the way he walked and the way he spoke. And I put on the glasses, which in some ways I regretted, because I thought part of the camera angles magnified my eyes and also made me look a little bit on the evil side. And so I've decided if I go back, I'm not going to use those glasses. But I wanted to break the image of Tony and Andre. I didn't want people to say, oh, here's Teo Pengler's back playing Tony DiMera as Victor Cassadine. I wanted to have a whole different type of character, and I thought the glasses helped me that way, and also the rhythm of the character helped me. And so, you've only got a certain amount of time to establish something, and you go on, and then it's all pieced together, and you're hoping that the arc that I did has some kind of substance to it. And how you introduce to all these new characters that you're supposed to know, and though as an actor I didn't know, and try to give some meaning, some foundation to the exchange. And so I've never worked so quickly in my life. I mean, I thought days was fast, but this business now, because daytime was in trouble, they had to cut budgets, and so it meant, you have to really be prepared. And I really admire, I think they're best actors around. I mean, what they have to do and what they have to bring to the screen in one take is tough. and sometimes you regret your choices, but you're now onto the next scene. So at least when I played with Spencer, it gave me a chance to be human and give me pause, you know. And with Obrecht, it gave me a chance to be have fun and play and be romantic. And, you know, would this be the kind of woman that Victor Cassidyne likes? I'm not sure. I was so used to playing other times in daytime, the women that were chosen for me were a little more, how should I put it, a little more feminine. And not to say that Kathleen Getty is not. She's got her own character, but she's tough. And, you know, the Cassidynes like to be in control. So I'm dealing with a woman who controls as well. So it kind of gave sparks for both of us. But she's a lovely lady, I must say. She's really wonderful to work with.
Well, I mean, you are doing a great job on there. And, you know, the biggest question of you coming is, you know, is Jason really alive? Is Elena alive? You know, all these things. Now, the audience still doesn't know the question to, you know, I mean, you took Robin away. And, I mean, it was a perfect exit for Kimberly McCullough to leave. But, you know, for the audience, it's like, okay, tell us now. Are they alive? Are they, you know, and I know you can't tell us, but, you know, I would
well,
try.
Well, that's why I introduced in the photographs is to titillate the audience with characters that they liked a lot, because these characters of the Cassidynes were popular. And so are they alive? Is she able to bring them back to life because of the new technology? We don't know. That's why serial is the way it is. The writers have a chance to see the way work is expressed ahead of time, so they can know where the strong points of that storyline are, where the weak points are. And so they will bring in an actor who will give them certain colors, and in the way the actor takes the script off the page and brings the personality and brings a life without making him a cartoon. Because it's so easy, you know, because you're going so quickly, and because when you ask questions, they don't know either. So they're going along. I'm sure they have a big plan. Are they alive? And if they are, it titillates the audience. And it's like, you know, if we gave the audience everything they wanted to know, they'd say, okay, next. So that's
well,
a part of the magic.
If they are alive, it's going to be one of the interesting things in daytime. You know, I think Twitter will be blowing up. Everything will be blowing up if everyone's alive. And I am looking forward to you working with Luke Anthony Geary again, because I think you worked with him in the 80s, a little, 19.
I did. You know, the reason why Gloria Monty, I think, took to me as an actor was because there was a scene on the boat in which I was talking about my plans, and somehow Luke had infiltrated the stewards on the ship. And I was looking at the plans, and he was standing there by the door, and I looked at the director, and I said, why is he in the room? He says, well, because he's a spy. And I said, yes, but I said, if we're going to be great villains, we're not stupid. We wouldn't have this character sitting while we're making plans for the world's destruction.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be having a room while we're discussing this. And I remember Gloria Monty coming on the set, and she says, he's absolutely right. Luke, leave. And then I remember Tony Geary jumping up in the air and saying, yes, we have an actor at last. And so from that moment on, we hit it off. And I hadn't seen him in years. And one day I was just on set before I started, and Tony Geary was finishing his scenes. And I thought, I wonder if he'll remember. And as soon as he finished his scenes, he took one look at me and he ran over and he started to scream and hug and saying, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're here. And I thought, isn't this interesting? It's 30 years later, and here we are. So I'm hoping there's going to be scenes with him. There has to be. And there's also, you know, there are certain characters that I can't wait to work with. If I go back, I think this is, they have very strong characters, I must say, on GH, and very individualist. They're gonna come after me, but you know, to be the head of the WSB is going to be interesting to find out how I got there and how I infiltrated, and what is my purpose there, because it's really the CIA.
Well, and also I think you might get a chance to be working with Monique Spinault too, Sunny, and I think that would be incredible thing.
Yes.
To see Victor and Sunny with, you know, with scared the heck out of me to see that, but I think you guys would be really a good combination, because whenever you do a scene with guys, you are really good. You were so good with Drake on Days of Our Life. You guys, you know, were brothers, and then you are not brothers now, but, you know, you and Drake was so good on Days of Our Life, and I think now that you're working on General Hospital, you will find you working with other guys. I think you will be really good.
Well, you know what gets me is that if I see an actor trying to upstage or trying to take control of the scene, that's all I need. And the way I play things is I always come under. I'm always amused by actors who put on their big boots and try to think they're going to knock you out or something, or they're going to outsmart you. That's all I need to see. And then right away I go into, the charm comes out of me, the humor comes out of me. I look at them and I, you know, in my life with all the journeys I've done, and I've been arrested by secret police in Syria and in the Mossad and Hezbollah, southern Lebanon. You know, I've been through a lot, and so not too much scares me. And so when an actor comes under the circumstances, if you don't have two people who can stand on opposite sides of the spectrum, and if the audience doesn't believe that there is a challenge here, then they're going to get bored. So you have to raise the stakes, and the other actor has to raise his.
Mm-hmm.
So I always enjoy a challenge. I think that's why, you know, even when we did the fencing scenes, you know, because what I loved about Tony D'Amara was that he was multifaceted. He wasn't just, you know, a romantic who was on the brink of being a heavy or a villain. I always thought, you know, the great businessmen of this world, the great leaders of this world, cannot afford to be looked upon as being weak. You look at Putin today in Russia, and you see the way he's playing his cards. I mean, this is a guy who's KGB, who is a karate expert. He's got so many things. So, you know, you have to strut that stuff. And so that also when you're in the room with your loved one or your wife or your girlfriend, you got to, it's like what we like about James Bond. When he takes a woman to his arm, you know there's the edge of danger, you know, that it's tongue-in-cheek. And so I think that always makes it interesting. So it depends on your observations of life and what you contribute to your character and what you come into. It depends on the way you walk and the shoes you wear. For me, Tony was always, when I was bored with dialogue, I'd always say, okay, what good outfit can I wear today? That's where I would amuse myself. But, you know, sometimes you have to repeat yourself because audiences change and audiences watch different days. And so
mm-hmm.
you have to remind of the exposition in case they missed out. So, and therefore, every time you do similar, giving similar information to your audience, you've got to be able to make it as versatile as possible. You can't just play the same thing again. So the audience will say, oh, well, I've seen that already. So you have to find. So you may change your clothes. It may be that you'll say it next time with a little more charm, or you may make it a little more mysterious. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways. How do you keep an actor alive on serial, in serials, in daytime? And that is, you have to be ahead of your audience, and you have to inspire your writers. Now, the audience
Exactly, and before there's a couple of calls for you, but before we get to that, What are your plans this summer? Do you want to travel? Do you want to do anything fun? I mean, it is almost summer. I mean, I might be jumping ahead because spring is here, but summer is just around the corner.
Well, yes, I'm looking maybe June, July of going to Iran. I mean, my friends think I'm crazy again, but then they thought I was crazy when I was going to Syria and I was going to Egypt the amount of times I did. But, you know, that doesn't worry me. But I want to go to Iran because there's something so... I want to find out what Alexander the Great and how he conquered that country in ancient times in the 4th century BC. I want to find out how he did it and who are these people that he conquered and what did he leave behind. So I want to explore that and go to places like Persepolis and in Tehran. And, you know, you hear from people that there are a lot of secret police in Iran, and you have to be very smart about the way you travel. And you don't take anything with you that could be insulting to that culture. You don't speak politics in that culture. You don't go to places where you're not invited. That's why you must find a smart guide and see what your limitations and where you can, you know, I do test things. And then I'm going to go to Greece because I'm very interested in discovering the journey of Ulysses, the ancient Greek warrior from the Trojan War. I want to find out where the real Ithaca lies. And so I've got a journey to go to a Greek island called Kefalonia. And so that's what I'm looking at this summer. But then with the book, I have to go to Greece to do some interviews with the book there because part of my book is also about certain things of history in Greece. And then I want to go to Australia because that's where I was born. You know, I always like going back to the place I was born because it always reminds me how far I've gotten and also embracing family and making them proud because, as my brother said, nobody else in the family has written a book. And so it'll be interesting to see how they receive the book, my relatives, because of the things I say about. I don't mention names, but there are certain things I talk about, the rituals and the customs and how I ran away from them. And so I'm going to be very busy in the summer with the book as well. And so if Victor is there as well, I'm going to have my hands full.
Whoa, you seem really busy. I mean...
Well, listen, you know, we don't know where we go from here and where we were before this, but all I know is I've been given by life a certain amount of years, and I don't want to sit on my laurels and say, well, I've done enough, and now this, you know, to me, one of the reasons about getting older for me is curiosity, because as long as you're curious, your life is still exciting. Life is still answering questions for you. There's discoveries. There are so many things that you think you know that you may not know. I want to go to places where I always think that what I call the God never sleeps. I like to go into areas of where people are, you know, fearful. I mean, I was with a young psychic recently. He looked at me and said, do you know how many times you could have been killed on these journeys? And suddenly I started flashing on some of the things I did, how I was dragged into the pyramids at night and how I escaped these men in hoods. And it was frightening. But and Hezbollah, I mean, I could have been shot on the spot. I could have been arrested as a spy. You know, even when I was in Tel Aviv, when I went to Israel, the Mossad, the secret Mossad surrounded me at the airport thinking I was a terrorist. So I find all that exciting because none of it's true. But, you know, you never know. Sometimes they will shoot before they ask questions. So that's where you have to be smart about the way you travel. And I remember Jane Fonda last week. She was talking about her life. And she said, he says, what's the secret to aging well? And she said, curiosity. And so that's what I believe, because as long as you're curious, life continues. If you're not curious and you say, this is life and I've had a good time, I'm going to retire, or then you begin to slowly die. And too many things to do.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And okay, we better take calls because I know you only can stay for an hour and Wow, time flies when you're having fun. And let's see, 901, you on the air?
Hi, Theo and Carly. My name's Celia, and
yes.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Mostly because of Tony DiMera.
Yeah.
My mom was a big Days fan, and so I grew up watching Days, of course, and watching your father die 500 times in my childhood. So they don't call him the Phoenix for nothing. So what has been your favorite storyline over the years, either on the hospital or Days? Or either both, you know?
Yeah, so. You know, I have to be honest with you. There are times where I see photographs or someone will tell me a story and I can't remember it. You know, we did so many stories and they were so fast. And you go from one to the other to the other to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that Leanne Hunley was one of the most pleasurable actors I've ever worked with. Certainly John Delancey, because there was a lot of humor. And also with Drake, in the scenes that we had during, what was it, Amarid. Is that the play? I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, that story I liked. I liked the dual story of where Andre and Tony and the fencing. I enjoyed that. I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, the scenes that I did with my father. And also, I must say, James, who plays EJ, he and I had a great, great friendship, and we really worked well. And I think that's why the audience liked us, because in private times, both of us really respected each other, and we were very courteous to each other. Some other actors that I would work with, which I won't mention names, really got threatened with Tony DiMera or Andre, and they always huffed and puffed, and I used to go, oh, here we go again. Or they would wear, you know, high heel boots, and so they could look taller than me and look down at me, and I thought, God, I wish they could put this all this energy into making the scene a lot more interesting than trying to make it threatening. I probably would say, best of all, I love the romantic side when Leanne Hunley and I were dancing and we were having our wonderful bathtub and shower sequences. And then I liked playing the clown as Andre. I thought that was one of the best times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that I scared the daylights out of Alison Sweeney was a delight. I mean, I can't tell you.
I was like, poor girl, because I would have done the same thing. And
oh,
I think I did the same thing.
Yeah,
I was watching it. I was like, I was not expecting that. Okay. Well, I'm paying attention now.
Well, you know, because she's a married woman and everything, and because we weren't romantically involved as characters, I loved when I found out from someone, she's, you know, clowns scare her, and I thought, oh, great. So when I got on the bed with her, which was improvised, and my fingers would go closer to her breasts and she would get really uncomfortable, it just made me even more pleasure, gave me more pleasure. So the more I stirred her up, the more joy I had out of it. So, you know, she was a great foil. I enjoyed working with Alison, but I just loved disturbing her. Just like I loved disturbing John Black. I mean, that was great,
uh-huh.
too. You know, I love Deidre Hall. She was great. She was always wonderful to work with.
Well, the DiMeras do love Marlena, so at least your father does. So he has a thing for Marlena and Hope. As many times as he's kidnapped them.
Yeah, the word, you know, I must this on Days were great. Joe Moscolo and I, in our arguments and the way we battled each other was great. I mean, there was a time
uh-huh.
where he slapped me so hard. I saw stars, and it wasn't even written in the scene. He just decided he was going to slap me. And I just was so upset. But because he's my father, I couldn't do much about it. And because he's Stefano DiMera, I couldn't do much about it. But I had to respond it in a sense as I would my own
yeah.
father, which is, do that once more, and I'm going to give you the biggest punch and the hardest punch I could ever think of. So, you know, things like that, they're unexpected, you know. Those were the times that I remember well. But they're a good company.
How can you forget being slapped by, you know?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, the size of Joe's hands when he hits you, I mean, he took your whole face.
I know. I watch him, and I'm like, he has some big hands. I wonder if they're that big. So thanks for us, you know, answering that question for me. I'm like,
okay. Yes, I can. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, love.
Okay, my partner in crime, I will put you back on hold. And
okay.
708, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Marie.
Who is?
Oh, Marie. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Tao.
Who is this?
Marie.
Oh, hi, Marie.
How are you? I follow you on Twitter. You know me as Marie with 5 1s after it.
Yes, I know who you are.
That pain in the butt that always tweets you.
No, you're not. Never think in the butt. No.
No, actually, Marianne and Jan talked me into calling.
They did?
They did. Oh, I was like, what was I going to...
Two culprits.
I know.
They should stir us. They learned that from me.
Oh, so you're the one. No, I told, because yeah, I know that they followed you, they've been in touch with you on Facebook and all, and Twitter, with all the, you know, being fans of Days of Our Lives, and I didn't watch that. So I was telling them, I says, I tweet him all the time. What am I going to talk to him about? I said, I'm probably the last one he wants to talk to.
Life.
So, but no, I just wanted to say hello.
Thank you.
I enjoy your tweets. You're so philosophical with the way you speak. Just elegantly. I love reading your tweets.
Thank you. You know, I remember I was attacked for my tweets by two South African brothers who tried to insult you. You know, some of them come on board just to insult you and say crazy things and insulting things, and I just get, why do these people even waste the time?
Mm-hmm.
So I just I learned how to block things, and you know, because you're very vulnerable in a way when you go out, anybody can say anything. They just can write anything. So you know, for people who are respectful, people who ask me interesting questions, people who share their lives, and that I enjoy, because you know, let's face it, as actors, we're evidence collectors of life. And so we take other people's lives and see how they respond to things. And so you learn, it's not you just knowing and therefore you're imparting knowledge. You learn from listening to others who have had experiences you've not had and the way they have insights into life. The only thing I don't like, you don't see it so much on my page, but I see a lot of people who attack our president, and that, you know, whether you agree, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, what I don't like that happens here, that cannot happen anywhere else in the world, like it happens in this country, is the way they attack the president and the way they belittle him and putting pictures of monkeys and things like that. And I'm thinking, do they understand that when they do that, it really is creating a bad image for Americans? You're dealing with the head of a country, and whether you like his politics or you don't, he is our leader, and he was the chosen leader. I mean, if you were in another country, you would have been arrested by now and thrown into prison with no questions.
I just
think at a time of where we're battling situations in this world, including with Putin, and then you have people coming on board, Republicans or Democrats, who are negating the president, you don't see anybody negating other presidents around the world.
No.
But it just seems to be such an easy target for people to hide behind some false picture or whatever it is and belittle him that way. And I'm thinking, do they understand how much work this man has to do? I mean, you know, other presidents have made mistakes, but I've never seen anybody ridiculed as much as President Obama. And I became an American citizen because I wanted to vote for him.
Right.
And you know, whether everything he's done, you know, no president is 100%. But at the same time, you know, it's like sending out your child to the world, and then you belittle that child, And then everybody's going to think that the kid is about, you know, doesn't have good upstanding and is not, his decision making not good. So I don't understand that about Americans, and
I
don't understand how easily they can do that. It's just, we really have a lot of people out there who hide behind their own problems and sicknesses,
mm-hmm.
and then take that on him. And the fact that he's black, and I'll say that,
right.
there, it just brings up racial issues for me, because I grew up in Australia, and I grew up with racial issues. It's
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons I left. It's different now, but it's still a country that certainly promotes whites more than ethnics.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see that for the first time in history in America, somebody black is chosen, I thought, imagine what it's done for all those people who have struggled in their history,
right.
and been able to say, oh, my God, the sun has shone on them again at last.
Well, that's
and
what, you know, that's what, you know, with him being black, we're supposed to, Americans, we're supposed to be embracing adversity.
Yes.
And they attacked it, the president. I mean, that's, you know, and then it's like when he is voted in from, you know, like with Bush, the new president has to clean up what the other president left off, you know. And
yes, I
don't
think people really.
So it takes 4 years to do that, and then to do what he wants to do.
Right, and I think he's got. I love his image. He's a gentleman, I love that when
both
he came. You know, and then you look at like Putin, who's a thug and KGB,
mm-hmm.
and the fact of what. Could you imagine our president invading some country? I mean, we certainly went after the wrong country when it came to Iraq.
Right.
Certainly had reason to go into Afghanistan. But, you know, certainly I look at our own history and what we've done wrong. But he's not a man who believes in war. He wants to work it through diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at so many families who've lost their loved ones in wars, only they know what it's like to have to send another son or another daughter. And I like the fact that he's trying to deal with diplomacy. You know, we can't be involved in everybody else's business. I mean, you know, and this is what I hate about some of the Republicans who've been coming up and ridiculing him. And, of course, you know, it goes overseas and they start looking at Obama in a weak way. And I'm thinking, this is our leader. We're supposed to respect him. So that he's powerful when he goes out on that platform. We don't make jokes on him like that. I just think sometimes we just take too much for granted, and I'm just totally against it. I just can't stand it. I'm going to go in sometimes and just say to people things that, so I just block them. I just don't like that kind of process.
No.
You have to. Respect your leadership. Otherwise, how do your children understand what it's like to respect someone older? We've smashed so many boundaries now in our lives, and we're wondering why we have so many problems.
Well, with me being physically disabled, you know, and in grade school, you know, the kids would, you know, and me being the only disabled, I went to a mainstream school all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I was picked on because no one really knew. So I guess back then I was bullied, but it was a milder thing. You know, looking back now with all the stuff going on now, I was like, damn, I was bullied in a, you know, not severely, but just teased, you know, with words and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and how does that make you feel about your own self-image and your
mm-hmm.
own esteem?
Yes.
I don't know why. I don't understand. It's just bad upbringing. I don't understand why people don't bring up their children and teach them to respect their elders. I mean, I grew up that way.
Right.
I couldn't talk back at my father.
No.
You know, all those things. And so it's all about the way children are raised, just like, you know, how people in this country and even in other countries, how they look down on Jews or look down on blacks. And I'm thinking, we're all human beings. What are they talking? What is this about? What is it? So people are not really dealing with their own
mm-hmm.
issues, and so they get upset. So they land it on somebody else, and I just think it's bad education. Too much freedom of speech in this country.
Yeah, exactly. We abuse our right for freedom of speech. But I do want to ask you one thing. With your archaeologically.
Archaeological, yes.
Yes. With K King Tut. I had Googled, you know, what you had said, what, you know, hit the museum and what's not on tour.
Right, you'd asked me about how much of the Tut.
Right. So
is in the Egyptian Museum, yes.
Right. So is his coffin and everything. So where is he? Is he in the museum? He's not in.
No, actually, he. When you go into the Valley of the Kings and the Tut tomb, the Tutankhamun tomb, when you go into that tomb, mm-hmm. you go down deep. It's not a very big tomb. It's one of the smallest. And it was a tomb that was created because he died so young. So a lot of his decorative pieces, his jewelry and everything, were really meant for somebody else. And I think because he died so quickly that they had to quickly scramble and put something together. And it just lets you know what must have been with the great emperors, the great pharaohs in those days, what was stolen, what was destroyed. But his body is in the tomb itself.
Oh, okay.
And it's covered in very thick, like, lucite. And so that the sarcophagus, because, you know, the sarcophagus that he was buried in, there were, I think, 5 layers.
Oh, okay.
And so it wasn't until you got to the bottom layer, and into that bottom layer was the golden coffin. And that golden coffin is pure gold. And it's so unbelievable. And
that's in the
museum.
I pictures, and it was their school.
Yeah, but they took one of these sarcophagus, and they left that, and then they took the lid off, and there's his body, and then it's covered with clear plastic so you can see through it.
Okay.
You know, that's where he is. No other tomb has that. But because he's the most popular, because he's the most publicized, people automatically go. And because you go to the museum and you see all that history and all those artifacts, which are just unbelievable, that's why 40% of the museum in Cairo is Tut. Some of his pieces are in the Luxor Museum, and nowhere near as much. But some are up there because that's where he was discovered, in the Valley of the Kings. So they thought they owed it to the museum to at least have some pieces of him rather than all being in Cairo.
Because I was always confused with Nefertiti. Wasn't she married to his father?
Yes. His father was Akhenaten.
Okay, because you don't really hear about his mother.
Yeah, well, that's because they never knew what happened to her. She was, a beautiful queen, and because they also believed only in one god, and that which was a monotheistic religion, and so I think, and then his grandfather, which was Akhenaten's father, so it made Tut's grandfather, was a man, pharaoh called Thutmose III, and what's going on now in Egypt, on your way to the Valley of the Kings, is the most unbelievable discovery. His grandfather was probably the greatest builder, even greater than Ramesses II, in the history of the Golden Age in Egypt. And they're uncovering the greatest temple ever built, the largest, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on now. And I've walked on that, and I thought to myself, if you know the Colossi of Memnon, which are the two big statues, they're 64 feet tall, they're a pair, nothing else around them. But what they're finding is that underneath all of that is this incredible temple that collapsed during earthquakes and floods in the 2nd century BC. So that's why I want to go back to Egypt, because I want to see what they're uncovering.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll let you go. I just want to say hello and introduce myself.
Yes, thank you. It was nice to talk to you. So I'll know Marie now when I see you with the 11111.
I hope to meet you in Illinois with your book tour.
I'm not sure where I'm going yet, but my producer that I'm doing this project with, she's from Chicago, so there's reasons why I may go there.
Okay. All right. Well,
you take care of yourself, and thanks for coming on board.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Theo, do you have time for one or two more calls? I know. Okay. 941, you're on the air.
Mr. T, you would not want to miss this caller.
My God, I could. That God, I mean, she'd have the mafia after me.
That's right.
I know where your big connections are. How are you, Jan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, we're finally getting to talk again. I'm good. I've had a full day with my new project, and I have two wonderful producers working with me, women. I don't know why women are so much easier to work with than men. I mean, you never see much egos with women. What you're seeing is creative and nurturing and loving, and, you know, they help you. But men, it's always, you know, yeah, show me. You know, I just find women are much more approachable and much easier to work with. That's why I can't wait for us to have a female president.
Yes, exactly. But maybe it's because you have them purring.
These are strong gals, but, you know, let's face it.
Yes, I know they are.
I think it's so important that you treat people with respect. And if someone tries to advantage or tries to smart you or outdo you, that's when you put your foot down and that's when you really call the shots. But I don't have to do that with these ladies. They're
lovely. They are lovely. I follow them on Facebook, and they are very lovely girls, women.
And, you know, that's the feminine side of life. Giving is the feminine side. That's your left side.
Yes, and we do that quite well.
Yes. And then the right side is where you take, and that's the male side. So that'll tell you the difference between men and women, your left and your right.
Exactly. Now, I do have a question.
Oh, I bet.
How did it wrap your hands around the book?
Well, you know, it's not bounded yet. It's just the paper feels great. The photographs, all of them, are all in black and white. So it gave it interesting, a different dynamic to the photographs that were in color. And but it's, you know, your first book, it's like your baby, and I look at it and all the pages, and I think to myself, God, you know, most of it I did last year. I spent the entire summer writing, but, you know, was I exhilarated? Yeah, but I still want to see the book bound and how it's going to be presented. It's going to come out in a nice soft cover. It's a 9x6, and then they're going to release the hardcover. And now that I know that I was able to accomplish this, I'm looking forward to the next one. And so it's going to be a triptych, this book, places. And it's just kind of wonderful that someone put this together, someone who had a different eye to me and how they put the pictures in. And it's all done very well. The only thing that I was having a struggle with was having the print underneath the photographs to give credit to the photographer other than myself, and also what the picture was about. And it was just the writing was too light, and I had them darken it. But it's amazing how many mistakes you find as you're going through it. Even when it's been gone through with a fine-tooth comb, and I went through it as well, I just happened to turn to a page, and right away my eye went, and there was a word that was incorrectly spelt.
As you go along now, are you still able to make those corrections? You're still able to make those corrections?
Yes, but it's going to lock itself this Wednesday.
Really?
Yes, this Wednesday it locks itself, and I'm going to... I'll get to look at it, and then what I'm going to be putting on... We're going to do a page on the book on Facebook, and I want to do the journeys that I did on the East Coast. I want to do it as a show, a one-night show where I'm going to get on the stage and talk to the audience about journeys. And so I'm going to invite people to come. So I'm hoping that I'll get a good audience, and... if I have to repeat it, then I'll do it. But I think I'm going to do it where it all started for me at the Beverly Hills Playhouse. and where I my acting classes and with my teacher Milton Katselis, and where a lot of actors who are big stars these days came through, and I want to get on that stage and come full circle. And so I'm going to invite an audience on Facebook to see if people want to come, and I'm going to sign books that night and talk about the journeys and inspire people like I think I did when I was in Cape May a few years ago, and tell them the importance about what journeys do for you, to educate parents about their children, and so that when they do go and take journeys, that they should be well-equipped in the knowledge and the customs and the culture of that country before they leave. The trip is much more exciting that way. And so, you know, I'll tell stories from the book, and I'll read some passages, and so we'll see. So, but that was established today. So.
Oh, that's marvelous, and I'm all about the circle. Yes, everything moves in circles. You bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's marvelous. Congratulations on that. I just can't imagine what that's like. You know, those of us that have followed you throughout this project, we know what a labor of love it was for you. And I can't imagine what that was like to hold that in your hand. Accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, at first, you know what I mean? It's like my first acting job, major acting job, or I would have put it to the equivalent of when I started, when I beat out so many actors to do Mission Impossible, hundreds and hundreds of actors, and then suddenly you're chosen. It's like winning the lottery. So the same with the book. It makes you feel that somehow you've just expanded your life a little further by having gone into an arena that is that was a child for you, and you helped it raise itself up, and now it's ready to be given out to the world. So that I liked.
Yes, I hope you did savor that moment, because that is a moment.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, Jan, I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, well, that's why I called. I figured if the mountain wouldn't come to Mohammed.
All right, you lovely creature. Thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. Love to be
here. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, do you have time for one more call, or do you need to go?
No, I'll take one more. Who is it?
Okay. 814, you're on the air.
Yeah, who is area code 814? I wonder who that is.
You
oh, my God, it's Marianne. Oh.
Yes. I won't
God,
keep you long,
she,
yeah.
Hi, honey, how
but
are
I
you?
Good. Listen to the show. It's a good show.
How's it sounding?
Like all, oh, very good. Like all your, I liked what you said about getting older and curiosity. I really like that. That was
yes, you know.
That's
it.
Then you should live to be well over 100, I think.
Well, if my heart can last that long, but you know.
Oh yeah.
You understand things. There's reasons why we get older. It's not because it's to retire. You get older because you've attained a wisdom, and the lines on your face and the way you feel about life and the way, you know, it's like when I see children, my face lights up because I think to myself, oh, my God, those children have so much to look forward to. And sometimes I would like to teach them things that took a long time to learn, that sometimes parents haven't had the time or didn't think about it. But those of us who have an objective, because they're not our children, you know, I like. That's why I always said, if I ever won the lottery, I'd like to open an orphanage.
Oh, yeah, Or if you have some time in your busy schedule, even go back into teach or go into some kind of teaching or working with children. I think that would be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows, you know, wisdom comes with age, and we shouldn't waste it, and we shouldn't
You don't know what the future will, right? You don't know what your future will bring for you. Who knows what your next project will be.
Right.
Right.
So, I'm actually, while I'm talking, I'm preparing my dinner. I'm realizing
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard your what's exciting, the TV series I heard you saying. Your project sounds good.
Yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's an interesting project, and I just love working with these gals, and I just
Mia and they seem like fun girls.
Yeah, and Tiffany, they're really great gals.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound work, though. Sounds like you're having a lot of fun. Didn't sound like work, though. Sounds like you were having a lot of fun.
Well, you have to make it, you know, you've got to have some enjoyment with it. Otherwise, it's not worth doing.
Right.
You know, and we respect each other, and nobody treads on anybody's toes. No one's presumptuous in the group. We're all part of a team, and I thought,
the way
good.
It should be. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good team, and I can't wait to get it out there, and we'll see what happens. And the stories that we have are just so exciting. And so we'll see. But I think, you know, sometimes it's coming with an idea at the right time. You know, sometimes we challenge you, we come out with ideas, and you go out in the world, and then they'll reject it, and they say, no. But, you know, and then we give it up, and then we think, oh, well. But then, you know, a few years later, it can happen again, and then suddenly it's the time. So
right.
Life is really about timing, I find. That even who'd ever think that I was going to be asked back on General Hospital after all those
years? I know.
Cases?
And this is
your
year. Boy, you have so much going on for you this year, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's all about preparation. And
mm-hmm.
if you prepare, somewhere along the line, life's going to come along and saying, okay, it's your time now. But if life comes along and you're not prepared, it's not going to pass. So you have to really listen to the way life operates. You
mm-hmm.
don't push it because it's going to hit back at you. So what you do is understand, it's, you know, it's nurturing. You have to learn how to nurture. And along with all the rejections, you have to be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
be patient,
And that is also, let's face it, we're not always kind to ourselves. Because
we're the hardest on ourselves.
Yeah, we're hard on ourselves. And we take, you know, actors, for instance, you know, we may get 5 great reviews, but if there's one bad one, it's the one we study, and that's the one we look at.
The one you agonize over, yeah.
Yeah, some people, you know, will come along and everybody's nice to you, and then some person in the group will say something to you, and it's going to hit you because it's unexpected, and that's the one you remember, and that's the one you take. The idea is you don't own what people are trying to pass on to you that is not about enhancing you. Because then the question to me is, why do you want... Because I had a real confrontation these last few days with people. And I said, so why would you want to give me that information? As if, where is that going to enhance any of us? But people try to trip me. Because
right.
when you're doing well, life always tests you. And it may be just a friend coming along and saying something that really is about them and not you. But they
right.
want to trip
you. Usually what it is. It's usually about them and not you.
Yeah, and so
mm-hmm.
that's why it's very important to develop ourselves, and that's where wisdom comes in, and that's where you develop your instincts, and so that you're prepared for the weapons that come along, you know?
Oh, yes. I take your advice. I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'm so
anyway.
Excited for your book and your tour and everything. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to try and work it out where I'm going to do the journeys thing again here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still get nervous because it's a new experience and coming out. Because when I did it in Cape May, it was, you know, strictly spontaneously done. And now I'm thinking, okay, I know these pretty well. I don't want to repeat mm-hmm. myself, but... Because every audience is different.
It's oh, yeah. There's so much
you know.
More you could say, too. You could probably
yes.
talk for 3 hours.
Yes, as I'm doing tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you've been known to talk for a couple hours, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yes.
I'll send you my best love. Thank you for calling.
Okay. I'm glad Marie called. We talked her into it. She did a good job.
Yeah,
she anxious to talk to you.
She was sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, but,
okay.
Good night, sweetie.
Okay. Okay, have a good dinner.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Theo, I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you come back because all of us love you. Everyone in the chat room has fallen in love with you, and, you know, they hope you can come back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure speaking with you and to your audience, and we'll do this again.
Okay, cool. Have a great weekend and go relax.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, love.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Theo Penguin. You know him as Victor on Zeno Hospital and Tony on Day Live Alive. He has a lot of projects coming up. And we only have, 12 minutes left. I'm going to bring my partner in crime on. Hey, Cecilia.
Hey.
I probably boost your name again, but you know what? After a night, like, I had a good interview, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, and thanks for everyone in the chat room for calling in, and, you know, thanks for, you know, everything. I didn't, you know, I'm grateful he stayed that long. So,
yes, thank you for entertaining us for so long. We'd love
so,
you.
So, there's some topics I want to talk about before we go off air. Anyone in the chat room is welcome to call in. So I want to start with Zeno Hospital really quick. And I haven't watched today, so, because I've been really busy, but I don't want Nick and Britt to break up. I don't. It's going to break my heart.
We'll get back together.
So you like them?
We'll get better. I do. I like Britt and Nicholas.
Did I tell you you're my hero? No. I'm being really fun.
Lately.
Well.
But yes.
You know.
And
I want to talk about Song Kanan. You know, I'm ticked off. I feel like, they did not treat him well. But I'm happy. I'm happy that he's going at B&B.
Welcome back, Deacon Sharp. Let's do this. Okay, sorry. Sorry,
yeah.
I love me some Deacon Sharp. Oof. He is going to cause all kinds of trouble, and I am so excited. It's going to be fun. So, and maybe he can teach his daughter Hope a lesson or two in the process.
Exactly, you know? You know, no, I mean, I haven't watched today because I, you know, been busy, but I mean, I don't want to know, but I'm mad. I'm mad if the rumors are true that Luke is really Zillion. That is going to blow my freaking mind. What did you think
crazy.
Of that?
It's going to be crazy.
What?
It's getting good. It's, wow. It's all I can say. So.
Well, no. I don't want Sunny and Luke's relationship to fall apart because he, you know, I'm worried about that now. I'm really upset over this. People calm me down. Mm-hmm. I'm really upset because I don't want, I don't want that to happen.
They'll work it out. They've had their issues over the years, and they've always worked it out. So why would this be any different? So, yeah.
I mean, I just want, I don't want the Sunny and the relationship to be messed up at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are my favorite two guys. You know, no matter what Sunny does, you know, I'm okay with it. I love Sunny. I love Luke. You know, that's my favorite team. But I don't want them to go up against each other. But I know that's not Luke. But look, Sunny doesn't know that's not Luke. And I want someone to freaking figure it out before I kill someone.
Yeah, let's not get that dramatic about it. Back up a little bit and breathe.
Yes, Carly's back and Carly's on fire tonight, so deal with it, people.
Back up and breathe.
You know, and, you know, I mean, I've been bad this week, and I've been mourning the last Ryan on B&B for the last 2 days. Not happy mm-hmm. with that because I don't get my Victoria Insist time in, so I'm pissed with that. You know, because Kathy in this album, I don't know who this look at. Will... Kathy, we believe it's Zero Zax. So if it is, it's going to blow everyone's mind, right, Pona?
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be great. And bring Jerry Jax back, please. For the love of God, please bring Jerry back. I need some dose of Jerry.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, I mean, we mm-hmm. don't know, but, I mean, this is what the show is based on. My show is based on guessing until we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, we don't know, but, you know, really, we do know because it's, you know, this is why I don't like The Weeknd. The Weeknd's... you know, it's not my look. Yeah, Kathy, I know it's not your look, but still, the whole thing is it's not making me happy because, you know, Luke is my little crush along with Sunny. But, anything else that popped up to you this week on...
Sunny and Spencer theme, sorry. Wrong kid.
You know,
it's funny.
It's funny because people forget they are related.
Yeah, he is his uncle, so, through Courtney. So, yeah.
Yeah, but people forget that all the time, that they are mm-hmm. related. So, I mean, it's... You know, but I love their scene together. They are so
mm-hmm.
cute. Well, you know, and
yeah.
I know this is probably jailbait for me, but I'm in love with little Spencer, you know. I know it's probably jailbait or whatever, but that little kid is so cute. I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
he melts my heart. I'm on team Spencer versus Team Cam.
I'm Team Cam, but I like Spencer. So, now we need to get Jocelyn back, and we can have a Four Musketeers. So.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, I cannot make up my mind, but I'm pretty much thinking, Kathy talking about Lulu's baby, maybe you should be able to find out Monday. I don't care if Lulu finds out. I really don't because I'm going to feel sorry for Britt. I know a lot of people don't like Britt, but I'm going to feel sorry for
her.
Back me
something
up here.
Something interesting in a lot of drama. So,
well,
and
yeah,
so
but,
far is a bunch of drama. So,
you know, I understand it, but I blame Dr. O, her mother, for a lot of it. You know, I don't think C, you know, I don't think C is the whole cause of it. I want to blame Dr. O for a lot of it. You agree or not? Or?
I mean, I don't know. Somewhat I do blame on Dr. O, but, I mean, I guess Britt, in a way, could have stepped up to the plate and said, you know, this is your, you know, kid, and he continued to lie. So, I mean, it's just like, well, I see the flip side of everything. So, so I mean, I do blame O, but also blame Britt, too. But I love Britt, regardless.
See,
so.
I mean, I blame Dr. O.
Regardless, but...
You know, I'm just going to blame Dr. O on this and call it a day on that because, you know, I feel sorry for Britt. Kathy in this album goes, I wouldn't literally find out that her baby Sophie and Dante can't be a happy family. Yeah, I want them to be happy, but I don't want my Nick and Britt to, you know, break up. I really don't want that. That would be bad.
Yep.
I
know that Nick and Britt's going to break up for a while. Hopefully they can get through what they're talking about and, I mean, get through this issue, and then they can get back together and we can be with Elizabeth. So, yes.
I will
tell you right now, Liz Rick fan. I have always been. Regardless,
yeah, and you know what,
horrible things to her in the past, but it was because he loved her. I think he truly loved her, and you know, so.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think that Liz stayed out of it, and you know, really, you know, everything is finding out on their own. So if it comes down to Team Britt or Team Liz on this, I'm Team Britt. You know, and
yeah.
I mean, I love Liz, don't get me wrong, no hate meals, but I do love Britt. Britt is a character I have fell in love with, and I have loved. Oh, we have one more caller. Hi!
Hi!
Hey,
hey, Sally, how are you? How's everybody?
Hello,
good.
Karen.
We have buddy. We have 40.
Is it Cecily and Sally?
Yeah,
well,
it's me.
We have, yeah, this us too. We have 38 more seconds until takeoff. No, not until takeoff. Until the show is ended. But
give us a minute.
But no,
you mean
because see,
Kathy, you mean they have a half
album,
hour, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I made it for, you know, an hour, you know, and a half thinking, you know, whatever, but Kathleen, this album goes, I don't like Nick and Britt together anymore because all she has done to him is lie. Everything is a lie. No, everything is not a lie, Kathy. Britt did sincerely cares about Nicholas and loves him. And see, this got into this lie, and I blame Dr. O enough for it. And that's all I'm going to say before it ends up being Rule 5. But,
well, I don't like, you know, honestly, I don't like her for that either, because
well,
she's been lying so long, and that's been bothering me about that baby needs to get back to Lulu.
Well, after it gets back to Lulu, I want my couple back together, you know.
Well, maybe you'll have that. Did they say that he would forgive her after that? Did you read anything?
No one knows. But
nobody knows. But hopefully, they work it out. So.
Yeah, that's what we are hoping. But since, you know, since I've been on an hour and a half and my food is killing me, I want to be on for like 10, 15 minutes more because we won't get any more calls because it's overtime, but I'm so glad Karen called in. If Karen didn't call in.
Oh, I know. I wanted to call even if I from the cell phone if I had it because I'm still at my brother's. But I knew you. I didn't know how long your interview with Theo would go on.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I didn't want to just hang on hold because I said I'll use those minutes, you know?
Well, yeah, I totally understand, but if you didn't call Karen, you would have been dead, and I would have sent him to the head. And you know I'm kidding.
He'd put me out of my misery, Carly. Why don't you hire Sonny to take a hit out on me?
Okay, but you know I'm... Okay, but people, I'm kidding when I say this, and Karen, you know I'm kidding, right? So Carly won't get in trouble. But okay, thank you.
I'm not, but you are. You're kidding.
Oh, God.
So what do you girls think of the shows this week?
Well, okay, Karen, you have to calm me down because this whole look thing,
No, I didn't see that because I've been out all week, but he was the one Julian was meeting, so was he the backer?
Well, no, it's not Luke.
It's not Luke that's funding that money. Okay.
It's not Luke. No,
it's not Luke
actually,
huh?
Luke is backing Julian, but we don't know who the real Luke is.
You mean Luke is backing him financially, or Luke?
Uh-huh.
No, it's not Luke.
Or is it backing him?
It's not Luke. Luke.
So do we still think it's Rick? Do we still feel it's Rick that's been the financial backer?
No, what we mean, Karen, is it's not, okay, it's not Luke, but
you mean Luke's not himself? You mean right?
Yeah,
but no, he's not in Luke. It's not in Luke's body. That's what I'm trying to say. Luke is not Luke right now. I believe he is Zeri Zax. Zeri Zax can do Facebook.
Oh, you're kidding! You mean you think that's what we've been seeing is not Luke? That's Jerry?
Yes.
That's what people are saying.
Oh, my. So where the hell is the real Luke?
We don't know, and I hope Sonny doesn't get mad at him. But Cecily said he won't, so I should calm down.
Yes, I will calm down. I need my Jerry Jack fix. I need him to shoot so many people.
Give me a look. Give me a little girl.
I have a Jerry needs to shoot list, and certain people are on it.
That's really something. So then that means Luke would be being held hostage somewhere, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he would never betray Sonny. Come on, we all know that. Him and Sonny are best friends, and they, you know, they are in law. So, you know, I think...
And he wouldn't be involved with Julian if that was really Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, but we have a Luke and Sonny scene on Tuesday, so I am gonna, you know, really watch that really carefully. But before we go tonight, I just want to say that I want Nick on Days of Our Life to die.
We can't stand him, Carly.
No.
Okay, I'm caught up. Sorry, I was watching something on my computer.
Well, I watched Days in Bold, but I didn't watch anything today. I've been out all day, and I have the whole week in general. I'm never usually behind like this, but this week I couldn't watch it, and I didn't watch Young and Restless. But I know they weren't on Thursday, Friday, but I have the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm a little off. I don't know what's been going on those two this week.
Yeah.
Well, I'll catch up on those over the weekend.
This week because of the basketball.
Yeah.
I hate basketball.
Miss
Carter's basketball needs to be like.
Sorry, I'm happy right now. My Tigers won. Go Memphis Tigers. Go Memphis. Okay, sorry. Okay. I'm back now.
Good. Good. We will forgive you. Well,
how was it? Was it a good interview?
Basketball.
I hate when they interrupt the shows. I mean, why do they have to put it on when Bold and Young and Restless is on? Jeez,
exactly,
I hate that.
Exactly my feeling. Why do they have to do that to me?
Why?
Let them take off
a few talk shows or something.
I take this personal.
I hate when they take off the soaps. I mean, I really do, because we look so forward to them, and, you know, then it's preempted for this stuff. It, you know, it ruins the week.
Yep.
Well, I say at least I guess it's better I didn't see them. So since, you know, they weren't on Thursday, Friday, at least I have the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Y&R, so at least I'll have those to watch, you know?
Yeah, I haven't done it, but,
Talking about Bolden and Beautiful, and I know we talked about Sean Keegan coming back, do you know when his first air date on Bolden and Beautiful is?
They haven't said.
Sometime next month, I heard, in April.
Yeah, I mean, they said next month, but they haven't said when.
Okay, can we say April 4th, please? Because April 5th is my birthday, and that'd be a wonderful birthday party for me. Yes.
Are you glad he's going to be back at Bowl?
Oh, yes. I love me some Deacon Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on for days about that man. Anyways, I love him there.
I liked him better as Deacon than AJ.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do anything for AJ, you know. So, you know, they brought him back alive, and then they didn't do anything with him. I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, you could just kept his ass dead, you know.
He's been back, a year and a half, and I don't know, really, the sort of didn't do. The beginning, it started off a little more, and then they didn't do much with the character after that. It was like a disappointment, you know?
It's like you could have just kept his ass dead or away or whatever.
Who do you think Brooke will turn to? Do you think she'll turn to Deacon or go back with Bill, you know, now that, you know, Katie's with Ridge?
I don't know, but that would be a great triangle.
It's not called Bold and the Beautiful anymore, people. It's,
what's it called?
Okay, Bold and the Beautiful means Bold and the Slutty. No, I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding.
This week, earlier in the world, Brooke was drinking by herself talking to Stephanie's portrait. You know, because she was so upset over Ridge. You know.
Well, so, you know, that's what happens when you lie down.
They're not very happy right now. So I wonder which way this is going to swing, if she'll end up back with Bill. Or now that the Deacon's back, I was wondering if, I don't know, I thought, gee, maybe, I don't know if they would pair her back with Deacon.
You know, and they have a connection. They have their daughter, Hope.
They have Hope, yeah.
So, we will see. And
maybe there'll be a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Bring it on.
Maybe a triangle, huh, with Bill, Deacon, and Brooke. Who knows? Probably something like
that.
Oh,
that would be interesting.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Bring it on. I am so ready for it. I'm so ready for that triangle.
We want something different because they repeat so many of the same stories in Bold, you know. You need to see something different. I know. Did you guys like Katie with Ridge the other day?
I mean,
they had their first, they slept together, so they had their first, like, love scene.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to call
them. Tuesday into Wednesday.
Call.
Like, it went on into 2 days, like, you know.
Awesome.
Well, I love Thorsten K. You know, I love just to look at him. But I'm not
yeah.
sure yet if I'm, I don't know if I'm really feeling
See,
anything.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I love Thorsten K. You know, I love him to death, but I'm still on the fence of him being rich. It has nothing to do with, you know, my me liking Ron Moss because, you know, I could take him or leave him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still on the fence about that, so we'll see how it plays out, you know.
Yeah. I mean... I think,
you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, Ron Moss because, like I said, I could leave him or take him, you know, I didn't care.
Oh, me, I hated him, Cecily. Well, Carly knows how much I hate it. You know, I really hated Ron Moss because I think he's just a terrible actor.
So, exactly. And so I was like, I didn't, you know, I could care less, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just, right now, I don't. Him as rich?
No, I don't really see him as rich either, though. I kind of think of him as a new character. I'm not,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't feel like rich either, though. I mean, not that I hated the other one, but I'm still, he doesn't feel like, it doesn't seem like rich, you know?
Yeah. You know, so, but I love Thorsten K, so it's nothing against Thorsten K. I just don't
see him. Oh, I love
rich.
Thorsten. Did you like Thorsten? Did you watch, were you on All My Children? Fian,
yeah,
did you watch him as Zach?
I loved him as Zach. I love Zach and Kendall.
Me too. I love Zach and Kendall. Yeah, that was a good couple.
Yeah, me too.
Did you love them, Carly?
Oh, yeah. They were one of my...
Favorites.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were really my favorites.
I loved him as Zach. I mean, that was a good path. That really fit him, the Zach path. I'm not sure the rich character really fits him, you know. I love seeing him all the time, so I'm just happy he's back on daytime. But I think the Zach part was more him than the rich part.
Yes, exactly.
But as long as he's back, like, that's how I feel with different ones that I love. I say, well, I'm just happy they're back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that we get to see them again on a daytime role, you know, so you can look forward to seeing them all the time, you know? Because I miss so many of the ones that were, you know, that were from the shows that were canceled. Like, I loved Ricky Paul Golden. From All My Children, I loved Tad, Michael Knight. There's so many of them I miss that now aren't on any soap, you know?
Oh, dear. Karen, did I tell you that, well, you probably know this, but I have a new crush, people. I just want to know that I have a new crush on soaps, and it's Dr. Ben. Dr.
Stitch, right?
Yes, he's my new little crush.
He's cute.
You know, Kristoff.
He's nice. Well, he seems
Kristoff,
nice so far.
Kristoff, you finally have competition. You should be worried.
Kristoff won't like that, huh?
Probably not, so he should be really worried. So,
now, on one of the episodes, I don't know if you saw it, Carly, you saw it, Cecily, that Kelly called him a murderer. Do you think he was responsible for her son dying?
No.
Who? No?
No.
I'm wondering what she was referring to, you know?
Don't say that. Just don't say that.
Well, it's the only thing I could think of, because I said, he's a doctor. Maybe he made some mistake and she blames him for... You know, that, and because of some reason there's so much tension between them, you know?
Well, you know, we will find out, and You know, you know who they could put together for a while, and I went online, because we don't know when Adam's coming back. I wouldn't mind to see Cersei and Billy, this Billy together, just because that he can room out of Victoria's life. Yeah.
Chelsea, and this new Bill,
I don't know. I don't really like him.
What?
Like too much. I don't know if I like him with anybody.
Well, I know.
Oh my God.
Maybe there'd be better chemistry than Victoria. I don't know, but
no, there. Well, yeah. But before we head out, because my leg is killing me.
Is your leg killing, or you've been on the show for a few hours, huh?
Almost 2 hours, yeah. And we will have a show next week. And Steve Blackwood is from ex-Wolf from Days of Our Life will be here. And, yeah, so have a good weekend. Cecily, are you going to catch up on your sleep?
Yes, I am.
So am I.
Always.
You guys are all, everybody's tired, huh?
Well, yeah.
I
so
know.
You
were up early,
anyway.
Right? Cecily, I'm sure, was up early all the time.
Uh-huh. I'm always up
And you
early.
Were up early for two, Collie, right, for your appointment?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm, you know. I am done being up early, but okay, you guys, we are going to go, but we will be back next week, and everyone call in, and if you don't, I'm sending Sunny Quinto after you, and the real Luke Spencer after you, people.
Well, Dylan McAvoy after me?
Okay.
Okay, you girls have a good weekend.
Good night.
All right, bye. Bye, Cecily. Bye, Collie. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.